that we can all contribute to making Chicago a greater, stronger city, because we are all Chicago. I'm Bill Curtis. Good night.
All right. That was the Rahm Emanuel Radio Town Hall meeting that was hosted, as you just heard, by Bill Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And we... It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN. All right, the mayor has spoken from a secret location. Nothing sketchy about this at all. It was a radio town hall, and I believe at the behest of the Radio Broadcasters of Chicago, which is a wonderful Christmas party. That's all I can tell you about that organization, mm-hmm. is that they put on one hell of a Christmas party.
We give him credit for the doing it and saying that he's making the case for a great city that could be greater if more people were equally sharing in the success of the city. It was just such a very carefully controlled message that his whole messaging about transparency, it calls that into question for me.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
You know, it's like that's what we're talking about, and then this is the way it's handled. But some things in there were very, very good ideas.
All right. Well, we have, thank God, we have some people who are, we actually know where they are and who they are, and that is an important thing. Alderman Brendan Riley is here from actually this very ward that we're sitting in. He's required to be in his ward right now, and he is in his ward.
I think he spoke of the ward when he said a lot of cranes are up over the city.
That's for sure.
And State Senator Kwame Raoul is with us as well. All right. Well, gentlemen, you both heard what the mayor had to say. To me, I want to start with the crime issue because that is front and center. And I'll start with you, Senator. He said that there is a multi-prong approach. You heard a little bit of this from that that event that he had a couple of months ago, right? And said, you know, homicides. He said that this last weekend was better than it had been all year, but not better than it was year to year. He said, you know, the adding police, adding more, not only police officers, but more bosses, or elevating more people to sergeant status and lieutenant status. First of all, do you think that will help?
I mean, I think it's important that he frames it as a multi-prong approach, because much has been focused on legislation in Springfield as being the solve-all to the crime, particularly the gun violence.
That one phase of it, which is increasing the illegal possession of a firearm from 1 year to 3 years. And no one goes to jail in Chicago for illegally possessing a firearm.
Well, I mean, they go to jail. The question is, to be multi-pronged, the legislative fix has to be multi-pronged too, because they'll go to jail. The actual shooters will be bailed out, so because we have got a cash bond system. Mm-hmm. We need to review whether cash bond system versus a risk assessment system is the way to go. But with regards to the sentencing, I've been consistent in telling people a change in the sentencing alone will not solve the problem. People are more fearful of being caught than they are how much time they're going to spend in jail or in prison. And so that's where the increase of police officers is an important component as well.
Alderman, do you agree with that?
I do generally, and I think that this budget as a political document shows the mayor has been listening.
The budget that's going to be approved this week, right?
That's right. The 2017 proposed budget.
What's the total number on that?
It's massive. It's $6 billion plus budget, but it's a big chunk of that is paying for public safety. And this budget calls to make greater investments in public safety, which I frankly think are long overdue.
Is there a percentage increase in that we know? Is there a number you can point
to? I don't have the percentages in front of me, but it's a substantial investment. Many tens of millions of dollars more are being spent on hiring new police officers and promoting others. And honestly, I don't think this will be the end of it. I think that honestly we're going to need to continue to ramp up our investment in public safety over the next several years. But to the senator's point, just hiring more police officers alone doesn't get at the root of the problem. And that's why another component of this budget involves dedicating Neighborhood Opportunity Fund money to the neighborhood struggling the most to help support private investment and public safety initiatives to stabilize neighborhoods and create some opportunity for folks who truly need jobs and a chance to get a leg up. So, I think that the budget shows a multifaceted approach. It's going to take a lot of work, and just simply proposing a budget doesn't solve the problem. But I think it shows a real effort and focus on trying to stabilize these neighborhoods that are struggling so much.
I want to ask you guys about the sanctuary cities. The mayor came out very strongly today and said Chicago will remain a sanctuary city. It's making national news. He's trying to no doubt answer the cries from people coming forward saying, well, what's going to happen to me? You know, Trump's president. You know, are we going to? What's happening? But it is tied to federal funds, millions of dollars. Is there any way of compromising on this issue where immigration authorities will work with police more, or is he taking the right path here? What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I don't have a magic answer to the immigration problem because it's multifaceted, but we sure do need immigration reform. Unlike Bill Curtis, I am the child of immigrants.
You didn't come from Kansas?
I didn't come from Kansas. And so I am, you know, I am sensitive. They legally immigrated to the country, but you know there are.
But sanctuary cities would say that those who are here illegally, who are in police custody, you don't call immigration authorities in those cases. You don't.
But we need to stop telling the lie as if we don't rely on those who are here illegally. They're paying taxes. They're contributing to our economy. We need to stop telling that lie and look for a true fix to immigration.
And there is also, I'm told, that there is also a relationship that even though this is technically a sanctuary city, if a guy gets picked up on an immigration, if a guy gets picked up on a criminal beef that is, and he's not of status, there have been cases where they are handed over to the feds to toss them out because you don't, because it just clogs up the system here.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I mean that does, despite the fact that we are technically a sanctuary city, Chicago police officers are not arresting people for being illegals in this
correct.
City. That's
right.
I think, the best way to put it. But if they do commit a crime and they get caught committing the crime and they don't have legal status, I know in law enforcement from both the city and county side, they're sent away.
Sure. President Obama has deported over 2 million during his two terms in office, but 90%, more than 90% of them have been convicted of a crime. And it seems as if that sort of was the barrier to cross in order to deport.
We started out talking about crime and hiring more police officers. We need police officers, to your point, to focus on
serious criminals. Crime.
People
serious
committing
crime. People killing each other.
Right. Right. And the thing is that there's been so much politics around this, right? I mean, the Donald Trump essentially, we were joined last week by a former political consultant, now television star Mark McKinnon, who said, you know, this is very standard politicking. He identified a problem. He identified the victims, which is, the problem is illegal immigration. The victims are people who are being killed or their jobs are being taken away by illegal immigrants. He named the victimizer, which is the illegal immigrant himself, and the solution is build a wall, get him out, and who's the hero? And he's the hero. And that worked. But that's such a thumbnail sketch of what actually goes on here. And to your point, if you go through the businesses that are very reliant, and this is, I think, a question that needs to be addressed here, the businesses that are very reliant on non-skilled workers or low-skilled workers, and whether they're here in the city or they're out in, you know, you go to the apple orchards of Michigan or Wisconsin or whatever, the people who are picking produce, or you go to the, you know, the farms of Illinois.
They're raising our children. I mean, they're doing so many roles.
To the kitchens of the restaurants in Chicago. You have a lot of people who are of questionable status. And there have been attempts, as the I-9 program has been an attempt to try to make sure that people, you know, are properly documented. But others are getting around that with forged documents. It's a problem, but you can't, like, throw everybody out and solve the problem. It just won't work like that. And you can't find people to replace those jobs. I don't care how bad the unemployment situation is in the South and the West Side. And we were talking about the 47% number, right, with African-American unemployment, teenage, you know, people who are out of school and not working, young men. There isn't a system that's taking them in, and there's a lot of barriers to it. Some of them are racial barriers, but others are desire barriers too. How do we? The mayor pointed to mentorship. I want you both to comment on that. Is there a way to grab those young men and women who are growing up in the South and primarily African American kids who are coming out of high school? Some of them with a degree, some of them with not. How do we? What's the best way to divert them away from gangs and into paying jobs?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things you said, divert them away from gangs. We have to realize that every individual that labels themselves a gang member is not somebody who's not retrievable. The same folks, we hear Superintendent Johnson talk about the strategic subject list, and he often talks about them as either perpetrators or victims. So we've got to be willing to talk about some of those individuals as victims. I used to be a juvenile prosecutor, and some of the same people I saw on the neglect side, I would later see
on the victim
side. Delinquency side. And so we've got to look at their entire lives and be able to look at them as victims. Arne Duncan, former Secretary of Education, is doing some intervention work with folks he meets in the county jail, and he's getting them jobs.
Alderman?
I agree with what the senator is saying. I think at a slightly higher level, it's giving kids exposure to role models who are doing something very different from what they see in their own
community.
So
the mentor program, do you think, going to be effective?
Become a man?
I think I can't see how it could hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it has had some success. I think there are case studies from the program that have been very successful. I think there's also a lot of folks in the business community in downtown Chicago who want to provide those opportunities and participate. So I think that, you know, corporate citizenship coupled with some strategic investment by the city of Chicago through programs like BAM can only help. And frankly, the more exposure kids have to other opportunities and other ways of doing things, the better.
All right. We'll continue to have this conversation with the senator, with the alderman. Also, Chuy Garcia is going to join us in just a moment. He ran for mayor. Remember that?
We do.
Remember when Chuy Garcia ran for mayor? That's all coming your way. But first, Violetta Powdermedic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
I ran against a guy, Chuy Garcia, was an immigrant. That's a great strength we have. And we will always be a welcoming city because as long as you come here to embrace the American dream, we welcome you here. It's not an accident that 40% of your small businesses in this city are started by immigrants. They came for the dream. It actually keeps it fresh.
All right, there's Rahm Emanuel from his radio town hall meeting that took place between 6 and 6:30 on 47 radio stations throughout Chicago. And Chuy Garcia got mentioned by name. And Chuy Garcia right now is standing by on the super celebrity, super politician hotline. Also in studio with us, State Senator Kwame Raoul and Alderman Brendan Riley. All right. Chuy?
Yes.
First of all, congratulations on getting mentioned by name. I thought that was quite a moment.
Great shout out.
Yeah. Did you hear the mayor and your initial thought?
Yes, roll count, and I did. I got to listen to the entire 30 minutes. My observations, I'll be brief. Mm-hmm. It was a great infomercial. The questions are filtered. You got, you know, I love Bill Curtis, great voice, but very chummy moderator. I'd like to have him interview me anytime. Reverted to the campaign talking points. You know, I didn't know if I was at the Fox 32 debate or the Channel 5 debate or any of the other debates. It sounded very, very familiar. And my question to, you know, the radio media world is, are you going to continue with this or are you going to say it needs to have more structure? Let's get real questions in there. Let's not filter them. Is there room for a progressive caucus rebuttal or black caucus rebuttal or Latino caucus rebuttal, et cetera? So that sort of sums it up. You know, we heard the themes were cranes and how great things are going. Downtown, yeah. Mentors, incredible suppression of violence over the weekend. Gee, I wonder if they had anything to do with the radio program today. And then, of course,
well, if it were that easy, I mean, you know, in all fairness, if it were that easy, I mean, wouldn't that be doable, Commissioner? I mean, that's
well.
You know,
I think you can do a half hour radio program and take more than three questions.
I don't disagree. All right, let me ask you about the immigration situation here, because I think you're uniquely qualified on this. And this is the, obviously now with the election of Donald Trump, this is a question that all the major cities that are sanctuary cities around the country are going to have to deal with. Do you think there will be a change in the sanctuary status of Chicago? Should there be, and what changes would you like to see made?
I don't think that changes in the policies of the city or the county, and remember, the county was the first entity nationally to establish the type of ordinance pertaining to ICE detainer requests, our policy. It was emulated by over 220 states, counties, and cities across the country after we did it. Our policies, the city and the counties in this instance, are rooted in the Constitution, equal treatment, and being respectful of all people. They are bound in rulings in federal courts at both the federal level as well as the various federal courts of appeals. So I don't think that it's warranted. I know the campaign promises that were made. We do expect to receive pressure from a new administration to change, and we'll just have to deal with that as it comes.
Oh, the dollar, you know, I mean, that's pressure.
The federal pressure dollars.
Can, right, pressure it. Can be applied in a lot of different ways here, and it could be very, very costly to federal funding, especially for transportation issues and things like that for the city of Chicago if they don't comply. Or, and that's not even complying, because what you're pointing out, at Chewy, is that compliance – it could be interpreted through the courts. I think what Trump seems to be indicating in terms of what his behavior is going to be in office is that he wants to negotiate settlements. Doesn't necessarily want to do it in court. Ironically enough, for a guy who likes to sue, it just seems to me that what we're going to is there going to be a play ball moment? And I'm going to take it right back now to our other two guests here. Senator, I mean, this is a state level issue for you guys. But I mean, do you think that Trump is going to want to play ball on this issue?
You know, I think we heard a lot of campaign rhetoric. And so we have to wait for the dust to settle to see where Trump really rests on all of the issues. You know, I think the real Donald Trump is not really obsessed with building a wall, and
the real Donald Trump is obsessed with being elected.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so putting words in your mouth, but
No, and I'll take them. but I don't think we'll have to deal with this issue to the extent that those who take his campaign words to heart would believe we'll have to deal with it.
How flexible do you think the city will be, Alderman, playing ball with him?
I think the city's going to stick to its guns when it comes to the immigration reform issue. I'm with Senator Raul on this one too. It's my hope that Mr. Trump slowly walks back a lot of the very divisive rhetoric that he used on the campaign trail now that he's actually going to be assuming this important office.
But there's one thing to walk back rhetoric. It's a whole other thing to change national policy on this, and I don't think federal policy is going to change on this in the Trump administration. Even if Donald Trump decides after 2 years I'm bored with this and my kids didn't get security clearances, so I'm quitting, I think that there's a possibility that it's such a hot button issue for people that I don't think that there's going to be all of a sudden the Dream Act is going to become the embraced, and that all of the other pieces of immigration reform and a pathway to citizenship and all that. I don't see a clear route for that at the moment. So the city's going to have to deal with this, I think, for the next 4 years, one way or the other. They have been.
I agree. None of us, I think, can predict what kind of president Mr. Trump's going to be. I think a week ago, none of us imagined that would be the case.
Yeah. Well, Chewy, you're going to have to leave. I think that's what's going to have to happen here. I think that's it. It's as simple as that. Commissioner.
I was in Toronto 3 weeks ago, so I got a good look at the terrain there.
Yeah, just to see what that's like.
Oh, right. Just to check it out.
Yeah.
Just to see.
You guys have any government jobs available? Hey, Justin Kaufman is joining us. You know him from The Download, and he's going to be picking up from right here. Your thoughts or questions for this assembled panel?
Well, it's good to see you guys. What's up, guys? How you doing? Are you feeling any remorse for trying to get that sign down, Alderman?
I'm not, and actually I've been talking to my colleagues for a week since the election, and again, what was said was said. And I guess for Mr. Trump, he's got the opportunity over the next 4 years to hopefully do some good things for the country and earn that sign back.
It'd be great if you would go earn
the,
earn
wait,
that
can
sign.
He earn the sign back?
That's an honorary sign.
That's big news right there. Yeah. Is there a way to, if you're a really good president,
yeah,
we're going to set the bar
very high for him. But, you know, there's always hope for you, Mr. Trump.
He might.
And if he does a poor job, do you get the big sign down, the one on the river?
I think most people would love to see the big sign come
Actually, I would not be surprised. I mean, it'll be very interesting to see how he has to segregate his businesses out.
Good luck with that.
Well, the hotel, you know, they asked him last night in 60 Minutes about the hotel business being down. He goes, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Okay. So, I mean, it's a possibility that they'll be, because that one he owns, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't own a lot of them. He leases his name out, rents his name out to some of those. But it'll be interesting to see if he sells to Starwood or somebody else. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we're seeing the residential buildings in New York City that bear his name. The homeowners associations are rebelling, and they want his name taken off their building. So we'll see if that spreads to Chicago.
Yeah. Senator Raul, I also want to say that's a very good-looking veto session beard you got going on right there. That's strong. That's a strong look
I'm
you got.
I'm following your lead, Justin.
Yeah,
you look good.
It's Movember.
exactly.
All right. Well, Commissioner, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Chuy Garcia and Senator and Alderman, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Justin, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I have no final thoughts. I got my quip in about the beard, about the sign. That's about it.
That's about it.
That's all I got right now.
That's all
those were good. Those were really strong.
Thanks, Anna. Thank you.